of all of us, ma abhut, never be. Bhayam, fearful. Bhojapate, from Kamsa, king of the Bhoja dynasty. Mamur Shaho, who has decided to be killed by the Lord. Gupta, the protector. Yadu Nam, of the Yadu dynasty. Bhavita, will become. Tava Atmajaha, your son. Disjambate Kukshi Gattak Parapuman. Is the right tune or not? No. Yes or no? You say no. Jistambate kukshi katat parapuman. Amshena shaksha bhagavan bhavayanaha. Mabu bhayam boja pate mamurusho. Gota yadu nam babita tabat majha. Disjambate kukshi katak parakuman. Amshena shakshad bhagavan bhavayanaha. Bhabu bhayam boja pate mamurusho. Gupta yadu nam babita tavat majaha. Vaishnavis? Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. O Mother Devaki, by your good fortune and ours, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, with all his plenary portions, such as Baladev, is now within your womb. Therefore, you need not fear Kamsa, who has decided to be killed by the Lord. Your eternal son Krishna will be the protector of the entire Yadu dynasty. Purport. The words Parakpumam Amshena signify that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the verdict of the Shastra, Krishnastu Bhagavan Svayam. Thus the demigods assured Devaki, your son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he's appearing with Baladev, his plenary portion. He will give you all protection and kill Kamsa, who has decided to continue his enmity toward the Lord and thus be killed by him. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. tradition and lineage to the tradition of the mothership tradition. So this is one of the last prayers that the demigods are reciting to Devaki, explaining what good fortune she actually has, that Krishna is in her womb, and that she will be protected, and ultimately the Lord will protect the whole Yadu dynasty. As he said, he comes to do such that service, to deliver the devotees and to protect his devotees, to get rid of the demons, reestablish religiosity, and that is his plan. And of course we know that he fulfills all his promises. But I imagine Devaki is thinking, okay, so Krishna is the shelter of everyone, like it's saying here. But Krishna's taking shelter in my womb. That's kind of strange. But I'm sure she's a little nervous because she has been threatened with her life and so many different things. We can also see that every living entity requires shelter in their lifetime. Maybe some of you can reflect when you've actually had to run to a shelter, maybe because of lightning or some threat or something like that. But we always need shelter, even in the womb. That's a shelter, although these days it's not always an absolute shelter. You might be poisoned or dragged out or sucked out, vacuumed out, whatever. But the womb is a shelter. And then your parents, of course, are our shelter. That's if you have both your parents and they care about you. And then your friends can be shelters, but we know that that's kind of on and off sometimes, not the greatest shelter sometimes, and they change a lot. And then you might think, oh, I'll get a partner, a boyfriend, a girlfriend. And of course we think, oh, that's our shelter forever and ever. And then, anyway, that's a joke, as we all have been through that in our youth. I go through so many shelters. And then when you get a little older, you think, I know the final shelter, Social Security. And now I'm thinking, I don't know about that. not even Social Security you can depend on. And so then the options kind of get less and less as you get older and older towards the end. Where's the shelter? Where's the shelter? And especially in old age, you think, where's the shelter? Is it going to be the villages over here across from Santa Fe, or is it going to be, some putrid place, near Shands or whatever? So it's kind of a shaky situation. I remember, well, actually on the streets, you see, though, now that they have Safe Place, so you can go there. It's usually a church or an educational institution. Yesterday, we were driving back from Jacksonville, and it said, shelter, this way. It was a high school. So, yeah, there's some shelters. Hopefully someone's there to take care of you. And then there's other safe places. But I remember I had an incident when I was about 8 or 10. It was during the Cuban crisis, and I was in Miami. And I was by myself in this big old house. And I knew that there was missiles aimed at us and all this kind of stuff. I'd heard from my parents. And also all these airplanes go flying over, and the lights go out. And I thought, oh, this is it. And I said, what am I going to do? Oh, yeah, in school we learned that you get under your desk. So I went and ran underneath the dinner table. And I thought, oh, I'm safe, as if that little table is going to save me, And my father, he related a story that he was in West Palm Beach when he was about that old, too, 8 or 10, and the ships out in the ocean radioed in that there was a hurricane coming towards West Palm, and that they better do something. So they all, he remembers going into the Methodist church and watching all their cracker houses go boom, 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 boom. And they had to be in there for 3 days because they all were on like stilts, just those little teeny houses. And his was found up on the driveway. Anyway, they at least had a house left. But, not a real good shelter, even though it was the only cement building in the whole town. But that was some kind of a shelter. But remember the three pigs story? Huff, puff, and blow your house down. There was the little thatched roof, and then there was something else. And then there was a brick house. I think the brick house, he couldn't puff it down. But there's a Krishna factor. What if an earthquake came? Boom. That little brick house would be gone. So we have to always remember the Krishna factor, and that actually Krishna is our only shelter. For the devotee, we find that it's a safe place wherever there's Krishna involved. And wherever there isn't Krishna, it can be very fearful. You know, like when you really have to go out on Sankirtan or something like that, you always make sure you have your beads, or you're going on a long trip, you make sure you have your beads and a Bhagavad Gita somewhere in the car, because you know, okay, that Krishna's there. You can imagine how fearful it was in those concentration camps, except that they had the holy name. That's all they really had. So it's very fearful without Krishna, but it's very safe when Krishna is there. And I think we can all reflect back when we joined the movement. Most of us were kind of without a shelter, looking for some kind of a place to land. And I remember feeling, you know, that this is it. You know, I was so happy to find some place that would open their doors and allow me to come in and give me a milk crate and seven chickpeas and everything I needed. And there's that nice story, I think it was Shruti Rupa saying that they were running down some street in Europe, running away from some guy that was chasing them, and just happened to come to the door of the Hare Krishna. It opened, and there was this Indrajumna Swami with incense and warmth, and said, come on in, you know. And so a lot of us have that experience of being in distress and coming and Krishna saving us. I asked Bhakti Gail about what she thought of coming to Krishna consciousness, how it was a shelter. She says, yes, it's definitely an oasis, a real oasis. Go preach down in like Brooklyn or something like that, and then, you know, on the streets all day, and then open the door and come in the temple. Ah, it's really an oasis. So we should be very thankful. And especially it's a shelter because Prabhupada was keeping us away from all those cheaters that were out there. And there was a lot of them. I mean, Prabhupada's lip would actually, like, couldn't even say the name of that, what's his name, the one that was such a cheater in India, I forget his name, Ramakrishna, something like that, who just used part of the Bhagavad Gita and said that everything, oh, it's not really Krishna saying this and everything like that. And then I remember one lecture, and someone said Guru Maharaj's name, and Prabhupada was like, you know, I can't even hear that name. What do you think of it? He says, I don't even think about it, you know. So there are many cheaters out there, but Prabhupada, he didn't want anything from us. He just wanted to give us the absolute truth. And so he saved us, many of us, from having to go and be cheated by so many pop-up gurus, as he would say. And he also protected us from the confusions that we were in trying to understand spiritual life. Many of us thought that we were in the mode of goodness when we were actually totally in the mode of ignorance. So he got that cleared up for us, and so many different ways that he gave us a shelter, and also in the future we could see that there was a lot of, you know, impending life experiences ahead of us, but joining the Hare Krishna movement, we knew that we would be taken care of ultimately, and so Devaki. She is, you know, probably a little concerned about the comfort and being protected, but the demigods are trying to give her that understanding that you are always protected by Krishna, and Krishna always protects all his devotees. But then look at Devaki's life, if you look at it, especially look at that series of the Mahabharata. She is crying all the time. You never see her without tears in her eyes. First of all, she was threatened to be killed by her brother. That was pretty hellish. And then she was tortured by seeing seven of her babies be smashed down on the floor in front of her. That was pretty hellish. You know, what kind of protection is that? And then there was, even after, you know, she finally got to see Krishna, then Krishna says, well, actually, I have to go to school now. So I'm going to Sandipanda Muni. And she was like, but my stuff sucks. And then she was, you know, feeling that separation. Never getting to be the mother of Krishna. So what kind of protection is that? So if we look at it carefully, though, that her prayers were to have that motherly affection for Krishna. And we can see that increasingly that affection grew and grew and grew under these circumstances of always being in a distressful situation about Krishna. So this was Krishna's reciprocation on protecting her. She never forgot Krishna. Never, never. Every day she was thinking, Krishna's in my womb. Krishna will come out. Krishna's my son. When will Krishna come back? Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So this was the real mercy of and protection of Krishna. And so we can think, okay, so I did come in that door. I came, I joined Hare Krishna, and I got my milk crate, my 6 chickpeas. And then the whirlwind of my mind, you know, the agitation, okay, I guess I should get married. And then problems, right? Economic problems, I got to move across the street. I can't come to Mangalarti. And then there's a problem of the relationship with my husband and kids and da-da-da-da-da, right? And it's still going on. So Krishna, the protection, you know, no problems. I thought I wasn't going to have any problems. But the devotee has a different mentality because they are becoming Krishna conscious. They're thinking that, oh, this problem, well, actually, I deserve a lot worse. This is actually mercy. This is, you know, this is a lightweight punishment for what I really deserve. And then you might think that, oh, well, you know, where's the protection? But Krishna is, it's actually Krishna's plan. We know that. That everything's doing, that Krishna's doing is to get us closer to him because he really cares. He's taking those 10 steps. We've took the one step, now he's taking the 10 steps. Yes, don't worry. You're getting closer to me, I'm getting closer to you. Even though it might be some distressful situation. And then, of course, our future, we're thinking of that future, is all this for naught? Is really Krishna going to be there? At the time of death, is he going to be there? Or did I do it for nothing? But the devotee knows that Krishna is guaranteed, in almost every single chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is guaranteeing us that I will protect you, you will come to me. Do not worry. The devotees are always under my shelter. I'm always thinking of them. So there's only gain in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said. There's never any loss. So the devotee is thinking that way. So our future is very bright. And Krishna consciousness is all good. All good. And that's what the demigods are trying to relate here, that everything is all good. There are other devotees too that have the sharp intelligence to see that yes, Krishna is my only protector. And I immediately think of Arjuna. The battlefield is getting ready, the forces are realizing that the war can't be afforded, so Duryodhana goes, I need more soldiers. So he goes in to talk to Krishna and see if he can get Krishna on his side, and he goes in Krishna's sleeping, and what does he do? He goes right up next to him. He says, okay, as soon as he wakes up, I'm going to ask him. And then Arjuna comes, thinking, I guess I should go see Krishna. This war is going to happen, and everything. And he goes in, and Krishna's sleeping, and he sees Duryodhana sitting there, and he stands at his feet. And so what happens? And Krishna wakes up and goes, oh, what's going on? Everybody's here. And of course, when the Duryodhana goes, I was here first. I want to talk to you first. And then Krishna goes, but when I woke up, I saw I saw Arjuna at my feet. So, you know, what do you want? And Duryodhana's going, boy, I hope he doesn't ask for his army. But of course, Arjuna's thinking, I just want Krishna. Because wherever there's Krishna, there's no fear, there's protection. That's all I need is Krishna. I don't need billions of soldiers. And as soon as Duryodhana heard that, he goes, gotcha. I've got the army. I'm going to win. But guess what? Without Krishna, it's simply a fearful situation. And so there was also Draupadi. She, was in a distressful situation, and she was looking for who's going to protect me. And Even her great husbands, Ray, didn't speak up. No one came forward. Bhishma, the greatest, you know, he didn't think he didn't come forward. And ultimately, she relied on Krishna. And Krishna immediately came in the form of a sari and just kept giving that cloth so that she would not be defamed. So Krishna is always there, and of course Kunti, Queen Kunti, is the greatest example of praying for more distress, so that she will see Krishna and be protected by Krishna and see him come closer and closer. So this is of course is a great faith builder. If you'd like to build some faith, you can ask for more distress if you like it that way. But this is also a way to develop that highest love, which is the ultimate goal. Actually, taking shelter and reaching that state of always feeling like you need that protection from Krishna, that is the ultimate goal of the Krishna consciousness endeavor. And out of that, we get pure love for Krishna. But of course, the hurricanes are always brewing outside here in the Caribbean, and it seems like all over now. That's Maya. She's trying to blow us away from Krishna, even as a devotee, trying to separate us from Krishna. So we have to have very strong faith. But Krishna says that, you know, that he will protect us, and that's very natural, because as you see Devaki and the other inhabitants of Vrindavan, when they're, you know, at Govardhan, you know, the big lightning storms and sleet and hail and everything like that. These were inhabitants of Vrindavan. They were from Krishna's, you know, internal potency. They're in the inner circle of Krishna, and there's no way that Krishna's not going to protect them. This is his, you know, superior energy that he has, you know, given out and raised all these wonderful inhabitants for his pleasure. Surely he's not going to forget them. So, and also us, he made us for his pleasure, and if he sees that we are taking his shelter, he's not going to push us away. But there's also an exalted example, the most exalted example of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who expresses a different mood. He goes, even if I come crawling to you, begging you for mercy and shelter, if you don't give it to me, if you kick me away, that's okay. It's not a problem. Because I'm just going to sit here anyway and worship you and serve and love you. So this is, you know, we're expecting some, you know, protection and everything, but Lord Chaitanya is not even expecting it, not wanting it, doesn't care about it. Even if you just, you know, I'm putting up my arms and you go, too bad, go away. I don't care, Lord Chaitanya says. So this is, of course, a very exalted a mood which we can, you know, only pray for. I don't think we can follow in those footsteps. But Lord Chaitanya also, Krishna himself, came here to give us the fortress that the big bad wolf can't puff and push down. In this age when the hurricanes are extremely bad and there's a lot of big bad wolves and everything hanging around, we have the greatest fortress, and that's the holy name. And that's something that is always our shelter, no matter if we're in concentration camps or wherever we are. We have that holy name that we can take shelter in. And we find, I think, that is true, that at different times we've chanted the holy names, and it has saved us from some calamity. I know there was, in the old days, in the City of Roses, Portland, Oregon, we used to go out in the middle of the night and borrow the roses from the beautiful circles and from the neighbors next door. And one girl was actually attacked in the middle of the night when she was borrowing roses. And I think he had a knife and everything. And she just went, Nashrigaray! And the guy, phew, flew away, and she was saved. So there are many, many stories of of how the holy name has saved us from some calamity. So Krishna has come personally and given us this shelter. It'd be pretty ridiculous if we said, no thanks, I'll just go out there in a raging storm, get wet, and you know, somehow or other I'll survive, right? We see that happen sometimes when Katrina was coming, no, I'm not going to leave, and then end up on the top of the roofs later trying to get help. And there's that story, I think it was a priest there was a flood going on, and people getting rescued, and a boat comes by, and he's, you know, sitting out there, you know, saying, God will save me, God will save me, and he goes, I don't need you, and the boat goes on, and then a helicopter comes by and says, you know, here's a rope, get on. He goes, that's okay, God will save me, God will save me. And then finally he drowns, and then he goes into the, you know, those pearly gates or whatever, and he goes, you know, God, where were you? Yeah, I guess he, I don't know where he ended up, but he goes, weren't you there to save me, you know? And he goes, I sent a boat, I sent a helicopter, I sent all these things, you just didn't take it. So in the same way, God has come, he's delivered this wonderful process, this shelter, and we're going, well, that's okay, you know, I could do something else to save myself. I don't need 16 rounds, I can just do two or three, nah, you know, 16 is too many. No, we have to realize that that this is very important that we chant. And in our chanting, that's a whole other story, because we can really take shelter of the holy name, or we can just let the whirlwind of our mind take us somewhere else. That's also ridiculous. We sit here for 2 hours, sometime during the day, or somewhere during the day, and we're going to chant those 16 rounds, you know, hell or high water, but we don't really listen to the holy name. We don't really take shelter of the holy name. So what good is that? I mean, that's pretty ridiculous. Krishna is sitting right in front of us. He's sitting, dancing on our tongue. He's trying to give us this shelter. He recommends it, and then we, you know, are chanting, but not really chanting or hearing. We're somewhere else. So, of course, we have a lot of practice. We have a whole lifetime of practice. And we can learn that, yes, it's easier when there is a situation when there's some impending problem or we're in desperation. I remember it was, you know, pretty intense during those, you know, midlife crisis years, you know, and I would find that I was really chanting desperately, you know, to not listen to my mind and senses. So, you know, that was maybe a little easier. But lots of times, we're not in that situation. Everything's hunky-dory, and we're just chanting our rounds, and, you know, got all day to chant them or something like that. But we're not really chanting as attentively as we are sometimes in that emergency situation. Hare Krishna, you know, we really got to chant. So what to do? Well, there are some healthy methods. I suggest that you go out there in the hurricane and try to preach to some of these people. You'll find that, wow, I really need to, you know, chant. I mean, like before I go on Sankirtan, I come to find the deities and please, you know, give me some strength so I can go out there and try to rescue some of these people. You know, they're out there drowning. So, yeah, they have to go out there on the front lines. That helps you in chanting your rounds. I'm sure Vaisheshika, he would always say, you know, that's where you get your quality of a distribution, are those rounds. So you might also look at some headlines every once in a while that might convince you that it's not so nice out there, and that I really do need rescue. I need shelter all the time because I don't want to end up back out there. No way. And it's not like, you know, Maya has given up her duty on us yet. She hasn't gotten her walking papers yet, so we have to keep atop of her and realize that she's still there, and so that's one other way. And then we can try to develop humility, pray for some humility to realize that we really aren't great devotees. We're not real strong yet, and some of us really, like myself, are not really doing devotional service. We do a lot of service, but it's not really devotional service. It's not pure bhakti. And therefore we really need that shelter of being able, please engage me in your loving service. Please accept whatever I'm doing as some menial service. So therefore I need the strength of Srimati Radharani and so many, and Krishna Balaram and the deities to somehow or other, you know, find some little bit of devotion and let it grow so that I can be delivered ultimately. And the great acharyas, they pray that, hey Krishna, you've delivered so many demons, given salvation even to Kamsa and Ravana and so many, you've given them so many people that are demoniac are getting salvation, so please don't forget me, you know. So a lot of prayer and a lot of sankirtan and a lot of hearing and chanting with great attention will help us have that emergency and desperation mood that Prabhupada said we should be chanting in. Please give me that privilege of devotional service. So maybe someone else has some comments or some ideas of how we can be in that mood and achieve this this protection that is being promised to Devaki and promised to us. Madame Mahamahi.
I wanted to tell a little story that I heard when I was in Mayapur some years ago. One devotee, it wasn't with him personally, but someone that he knew, disciple Srila Prabhupada, he had gone to Prabhupada and he was saying, Prabhupada, I just don't know how I'm going to remember Krishna at the time of death. I don't know what to do. And he was very disturbed. And Prabhupada said, I have the key, and when Krishna's not looking, I'll take you around the back door. That story always gives me hope. And there was another thing. I personally, when you talk about taking shelter and having tests that we go through, extreme tests, and to always, you know, it's easier to remember Krishna. I went through a very, very extreme test. I had actually prayed, not for that particular test, but I had prayed for something, you know, some particular type of advancement in my Krishna consciousness. And after I went through that, I was very afraid to go through any kind of, you know, experience any kind of other test, heavy test, because it was so intense. And I was afraid to actually have that feeling or that meditation that Krishna, whatever you put me in, whatever situation. And so it took a few years for me to come to the understanding that now my prayer is, whatever you put me through, please give me the strength to accept that and to understand. And just one other little point. We were talking about when you were saying how we, in an emergency situation, how it's easier to chant the holy name. But actually, we're always in an emergency situation because Prabhupada said, you know, he always told us, always remember, we can leave these bodies at any moment. And if we remember that, then that's what will help us in our chanting. I could die at any moment. And we see it. You know, it's happening.
And you said that's the mentality of the yogi. He's always thinking.
Right.
Superman.
A couple in the community that had a little boy, and he became very ill. It was leukemia. Anyway, it was terminal. So, you know, of course, they're trying to make everything as comfortable for the little boy as possible. And the mother made a comment that when he would ask for something, he would oftentimes not believe that she was going to get it from him. Let's say he asked for, you know, a little Jagannath doll. When she finally got it for him, he looked at this really special look on his face, like, oh, you know. He said, you're going to get it for me, and you got it for me, and I was so happy. So as he was passing away, she shared with me that you know, she said, I was telling him, Krishna's going to come, Krishna's going to come in his farm, he's going to be there, he's going to take you.
So where is the, you know, where is the passion of God spoken? I say, it's like, you tell me who's going to come. Mm-hmm. And who he is, you know. And I know for the parents, it's so much solid. Really, that transformation of the direction. So, I'll have to share.
Father, in yes, so I think we all kind of, after being through this process of purification, we can kind of see still that there are still dirty spots, but in this lifetime, let's not avoid them. Let's actually work on them, and because otherwise we're going to have to come back again and scrub on those dirty spots. And as you clean, you find, oh boy, I know that's from a few last lifetimes, and I just was too lazy to work on them. So this lifetime, we should, you know, do the maha cleanup and get out of here. Okay.
Yeah. I want to take another question. In the part of, in the translation and the slow part, there's something over there. The Balaram name is not there, but it is there in the
Balaram.
That actually smacks the idea. There's a big group in Zimbabwe who claims that God is Balaram or appeared 1 year before. See, Balaram appeared 1 year before, I think over maybe 3 or 4 years or future. So how do we explain that in the language? And then the last 86 and 87 says that Balaram, you have to transfer Balaram to support the global mind, transfer Balaram to the human. So all these combinations actually gives Krishna a Balaram 8 years old. It's really nice.
Very, very fascinating. Yeah,
Shri